Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is May 3rd, 2018. Most just don't realize it, but we are in that time at the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice for Yeshua tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. 4682, yes, of course. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, on another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Cape Town, South Africa, Vienna, Australia, Ahaz, Iran, Espoo, Finland, Sydney, Australia, and, of course, cities in the United States, such as San Francisco, California, Corpus Christi, Texas, San Jose, California, Lexington, Kentucky, and Omaha, Nebraska. Wichita, Kansas still remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcast later on tonight. Please follow us at Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin, at Branch77. Follow us and share with others. Now a prayer, and we will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will, not our guest will, Father, and just your will. So please, please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Well, recently, I came to... Well, now I'm not sure here if this program's going to go to this direction. So, folks, just bear with me a minute while we're trying to get our guest, and maybe we could get Frank to play a small commercial real quick while we sort this out. I may have to switch, and I don't want to give this lead-in if we can't get in touch with our guest. So, Frank, if you could hear me, if you would please play a short commercial or a song or something while we sort this out and try and get this guest, would be greatly appreciated.
Food prices going up, homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors, the mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
Okay, folks, we're back. We are presently trying to get Carl Gallups on. I don't know. They confirmed that he would be on today with me, and so They haven't picked up the phone. And so I am bringing my wife in, who was mysteriously was over here just now saying, hey, it's my day for radio. And I went, I looked at my calendar. I said, no, it's not till next week. So maybe it is her week, folks. But really, so anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch. Last night I was on the Omega Man program. I was on the Omega Man radio program. And on the Omega Man radio program, and we're going to put it in a podcast later on tonight. So now look here. She is here. Well, okay. Well, we are. Guess what? You must be on after all because Carl was supposed to be on according to the calendar and according to their confirmation last night. But you know what happened? He doesn't answer. So you were over here rightly anyway. So welcome, my wonderful wife, Linda.
Oh, you're already on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air talking. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was here on time. It's not my fault.
You were here on time. Well, the calendar said you wasn't supposed to be here at all. You
Your
know?
Calendar's wrong.
Well, see, I'm going to show you that. I'm going to show her that calendar. It drives you crazy for women to be right. See, it says May 10th, Mom, Linda on. And today is what? The 3rd, it says Pastor Carl Gallup.
But guess what? The 2nd Thursday of every month, I'm unavailable. I volunteer at the Marion Food Bank, so that's not happening.
Oh, you're unavailable. You have that problem, men out there. Your wife tell you she's unavailable.
Unavailable.
I don't know if that's exactly fair, but, well, now, I don't know. I'm not really prepared. Well, I don't know. I'll ask you about some things. We'll just start the program off. Okay. This week, they announced officially that the Boy Scouts are changing their name to just the Scouts because starting up, they're allowing women into the Boy Scouts, which has been a great organization and produced fine young men and leaders. And now it's going to be just the Scouts.
So are the boys going in the Girl Scouts? Are the girls changing to Scouts? Are they just all going to be Scouts? What's the deal?
Well, I haven't heard people ask the Girl Scouts what they're going to do about it, and there has been no response from them. But they have girls lining up to go into Boy Scouts. Now let me ask you this. You were young once. You remember young. When you were that age that you would be in there, and let's say you go camping with a bunch of boys, is that going to turn out real good?
No, it's not going to turn out real good.
Yeah. With a little bit of sneaking off in the woods, so to speak.
Behind the trees and in the bushes and down the lake and, not going to happen.
But what about this? Don't, and scooch your chair up a little bit, do not, men, young boys especially, and even men, they don't act the same when a woman's around, because they try to impress them, so to speak. You know, they have different behaviors. You agree or disagree?
I agree.
Won't that make it harder to keep, basically would you say, well, it's over with for the Scouts?
Oh, it's really over with for the world, but yeah.
Over with for the world? Well, why is that?
Because everything is just getting ridiculous. Like you told me the other day, Canada made a law where it's okay to have sex with animals, really?
Well, let's put the stipulation on it. Canada said it was a court case where a man was caught having sex with dogs, right? And so it went to court, and they acquitted him because there was no penetration, meaning that he can orally do what he wants to the dog as long as he doesn't stick something in the dog, then it's okay to have all kinds of sex with the dog, make out with them. I don't want to get so explicit, but you folks can figure that out.
That's
okay in Canada. Canada has a leader now that's even said that he let's go like this. Remember ISIS, of course, right? And terrible slaughtering people, cutting off heads and all that. Well, there was people in many countries, Canada for one, even the United States, United Kingdom, that left our country, their countries, and went to fight for ISIS, right? Well, now that ISIS is, devastated, those people are coming back, Well, the United States is trying to filter them in some other countries, they're not going to allow them in, hopefully if they can prove that they're ISIS. But you know what Canada had to say about it?
What's that?
Canada said, the leader of Canada said, well, they will be some good political people for our system.
Oh, my goodness.
Good, strong political
people. That tells you what political people are about, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, the leader of Canada is a pretty young guy, and he's trying to be, he's a leftist. He's trying to be all-inclusive like the left is. And, you know, that's what's destroying things, you know. They not unwillingness to, you know, unwillingness to hear the other sides, or actually they're against anything that's good, you know. It's hard to have a conversation with people that say that, won't ever listen to your side of the story. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
One side of people.
Right, right. Yeah, and in fact, today, you know, and I'll read this. You know, here a few weeks ago, I had Carl Gallup was on, and I'm really disappointed that he's not on tonight, but I'm going to go ahead through this part of things, you know. Okay, I came to a stark realization that, you know, what drives me crazy is that, you know, political speech, just what I'm talking about. You know, the left just cuts off the other side and wants to kill the other side without hearing, you know, everything they say. But then, you know, I realized that the body of Christ is doing the same thing,
right.
You know. Now, so let me go through this. So I came to realize there's a huge problem, not just with the left, but with the body of Yeshua. Because, you see, the body is guilty of the very same thing. Over and over I hear people saying, well, you should not hear this person or that person because maybe they believe in pre-trib rapture or post-tribulation, or they point to, they are like what it was Carl gave his position on hell, you know, and said what it was because we brought up the Pope. The Pope here a few months back, or a month or so, started a firestorm of things by saying that there is no hell. Now, this isn't about our beliefs right now, but he says there is no real hell, that when you go to the lake of fire that you burn up and you don't burn for an eternity. I actually agree with that position of eternal, a gift of eternal life is that. It's a gift of eternal life. The dead that come back to be judged are not brought back to eternal life. But it doesn't matter what my position or yours is right now, but the point was, and so Carl said, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Pope thing? And I said, yeah, let's talk about it. And so Carl presented, you know, his position. And it surprised me. And he had some really good information because he talked about some things that isn't in really mainstream Christianity's position on hell. So anyway, well, so after Carl gave his, and then Steve Henderson, another guy that I have on, you know, regular for few years, just like Carl, once a month for many years, said, well, you know, that wasn't his position with hell, and he didn't think it was mine, but he believed that we ought to give a rebuttal to it, just in case. Well, that's fair, putting both sides out there so people could decide for themselves. And so he came on and gave his side, you know. And so tonight, you know, I hadn't contacted Carl. I don't know if he had listened to the program, but I contacted their people. You know, because you work through an intermediator, you know, a person that confirms your appointments and everything. And they said, yeah, he'll be ready to come on today at 5 o'clock. I got that from him today. Well, we called and there's no answer. So, but I'm going to go on with this little part, and then we'll talk about this and see what you have to say. Let me read 1 Corinthians 12, starting with verse 12. Do you want to read it?
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If a foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now that hath God set the members, every one of them, into the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need for thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more of these members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacks, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. All are apostles, all are prophets, all are teachers. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way.
Okay.
You have to have all the parts to make a whole.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. If I cut off your foot because you stubbed your toe and so therefore your toe was wrong in getting stubbed, so to speak, if I cut off your foot, would the rest of your body suffer?
Yes.
What would that make you? Crippled?
It would make you crippled, off balance, and you'd still have thoughts in your brain that your foot hurt when your foot wouldn't even be there.
Okay. So that's why, Paul did wonderful when he put that together. But that's the point. We need each other. We are not Yahweh, and we're not Yeshua, and an angel didn't pop in here today and explain the whole Bible to me in detail. So there's going to be times when I'm wrong. There's going to be times when I'm right. But just because I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong, we don't cut each other off, right?
Right. No. We agree to disagree, and then the Lord will sort it out when he comes back.
Okay, that's the difference, supposed to be difference between us and the ungodly. Now, going back to the left for a minute, do they do that?
No, they're right, and they're offended. And if they are offended, they take away what is right just to punish you for not believing their way.
Right. In other words, they cut off all conversation.
Right.
And so that is the problem that I'm seeing with the body of Messiah right now. And I've been watching this for years. That's why some weeks, people say to me, they'll say, I'll get an email that says, I didn't agree with that guy that you had on there. Well, maybe I didn't agree with them either. I don't agree 100% with probably any one of our guests because we all are individuals.
Show me two people that agree 100% on everything and
then there's probably a problem. You probably have a slave and a master.
You know what I mean?
Somebody brainwashed or something. So the point is that it's just not. Anyway, so I asked Carl, I don't know if Carl listened to us last week, but maybe something happened over there. I'll find out later. But I had brought Carl on, and I was going to get his comment on this subject. But so what I want to point out to you folks is that in the coming weeks, we're not stopping. If you folks have a different view on hell, per se, and the afterlife than what we presented, get a hold of me. We'll talk about it. As long as we can agree that Yeshua HaMashiach is the only way to the Father, and that we must repent to be saved, then pretty clear you're of the body of Messiah as long as you're not denying Christ and you're accepting Christ. So if you have a sound doctrine, bring it on. We'll talk about it, and we're going to bring other people on. In fact, today, now everybody out there knows that I'm not pre-trib rapture at all and post-trib rapture. Which believes that after the tribulation, that Yeshua's going to come, what we talk about in church, the way we believe the Bible puts it forth. But in the spirit of what we are doing now, I asked Bill Salas, which is a guy that's wrote a lot of books and did a lot of things. He's a predominant speaker in the pre-trib rapture world and also talks about Psalm 83. I asked Bill Salas, I told him what's going on. You know, I said, hey, I want to present different views. Bill, will you come on? He's been on the program before a few years ago. And he said gladly he would. Bill Salas is going to come on, and that may even be next week that he comes on, and he's going to do a presentation called The Rapture. What is it? When is it? And what happens after it? And I believe that by fearing these things, it will. It's not that I'm trying to convince anybody of one view. Is what this program is supposed to be about in the first place. The thing that I try to do, Mom, with this program, and I've tried to do over the years, is to present some different points of view, knowing that we're all of the body of Messiah, so that people will study and learn for themselves. I got that from Stan Johnson. You know, he'd stand up in front of the Prophecy Club and say, what? We are a club. We are here to learn and research Bible prophecy, to come to the truth. That's what it's about. You're not supposed to just take it. Just because I say up is up, you're not supposed to believe me up is up. You're supposed to go study it out and prove it for yourself.
Right.
You know, and I think I hold that same position at the Mission Church. When we do our Bible study, do we all not get able to put our point of view across until, you know, we pretty much agree? Sometimes we have to agree to disagree.
We get into some discussion sometimes.
Yeah, and I'm the first one to say I'm not always 100% right. You know, I have a pretty good track record, folks. But
we agree to disagree and move on.
Yeah, but we do try to study it out is the point, you know, and we don't, you know.
As to what the Word says right out of the Bible.
Yeah, not us. We read out of the Bible and we use concordances and whatever reference materials that we can get to see what it is.
Because believe it or not, those translated words are sometimes completely not even the right word that's supposed to be with that scripture.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we had one here a while back that I don't know if we brought you in on, but I privately asked the guys to look it up, and it was a scripture that was talking about Messiah, and it was talking about him having horns in his hand. Well, Joel Richardson used a different Bible version when we were talking one day, and he said, well, Messiah had light and emitting from his hands and everything, and it made so much better sense. So I asked the guys to go look it up, and we'll talk about it the next week, you know, in our discussion that we have after church. And he was right. The King James called it horns. And it said, then it went, the concordance said, could be horns of light or whatever, and it did say light. And so it was talking about Yeshua instead of the devil, where it could have been considered the devil because of the horns. Okay, I got to tell them we're getting ready for break. Okay, folks, we're getting ready to go to break, and we will come back in 3 minutes. But check out prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. We'll be back in three.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Well, this is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Ranch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. And as you know, folks, if you've been listening to the first half, I've been talking with my lovely wife, Linda, and talking about various things, the body of Messiah, and agreeing, disagreeing. And during break time, our producer, Frank, you all know Frank, he said something that I want him to bring on. Are you still with us, Frank? My wife said you need to come on and tell the story.
No, I'm on a cruise.
He's
on a cruise. Where did I need to go?
That's not fair. You didn't invite us. I'm deeply disappointed.
Me too.
Frank. Yeah, that's a really great thing that you told us about, and I wish you'd explain that to the folks that are listening.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want everybody out there to know that my predominant Bible, that when I read the Bible, it is the King James Bible. But when I study the Bible, I use the King James as my primary, but I use, well, primarily I use one other Bible and the Concordance and other stuff. I stay away from commentaries and things of that nature. But I have this, my secondary Bible is something called the Lamsa Bible. Lamsa was a man who was brought up as his first language speaking Aramaic. Okay, so this is his first language, is Aramaic. And the Peshitta, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, some people can say no, but it's one of the manuscripts written in Aramaic. Well, his life's work was to translate the Peshitta in Aramaic into English. This is a natural Aramaic speaker, okay? So he does that, and one of the examples, like Dan was saying, you know, a word. Now, some people get really upset when you say that word isn't right, because they say, the Lord said that he will preserve his word. Well, does that mean he's preserving every single word in the, you know, no. The word is the truth, and the truth is preserved. And the truth is the truth. Now, the example that I have that was so stunning when I found it was when I read this, you know, everybody knows the rich man has as much chance of getting into heaven as a rope does of going through the eye of a camel going through the eye of a needle is what the King James says. Well, that has never made sense to me. And people say, well, you know, that's because the entrance to the town was called the Eye of the Needle. That's ridiculous, and it's not true, and they really can't show anything that proves that. But when you go to the Aramaic, camel is properly rendered as rope. Now, doesn't that make more sense that a rope is not going to go through the eye of a needle? Then again, neither is a camel. The message... Okay, the message of the verse is that it's tough for rich people to get to heaven. That's the word. Okay, the word is, look, if you love money more than you love the Lord, you got a real no chance of getting into heaven. That's the word. That's the message. Now, either camel or rope doesn't make any difference. The message, the word, stays the same. So the word is preserved. And to me, looking at that and seeing that, it just strengthens my faith that, yes, God does preserve his word. Even if you change the words around, it's still the word.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's my story.
Okay, well, we appreciate this story, Frank. And I'm going to make a comment on it, and then I got some stuff to talk about. But thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, he invited him.
Yeah, I invited him. That was your idea, you know. Okay, Frank, we love you, and we'll talk to you later. But listen in. We may yell at you again. You just sit back and listen. Okay, first, folks, let me comment real quickly on the thread. My response to Frank was, I can do more with the thread than I can do with the camel, meaning like this. This is where a pastor thing comes in. You have a rope. A rope by itself, you can't get it through that needle, but a rope is made up of many fibers. Just like a rich person more than a poor person has many more sides to them because they have money and access to do things. Well, still, it's going to be the same part as the poor person that to enter into heaven, he has to shed all those other things and make all those other things that make him up not important, but just that one fine thread that will go through that needle. And so it is not impossible for a rich man to get into heaven. He just has to make sure that the one thread, the one that's the Yeshua thread, is the most important. And that one will get through the needle and therefore go along with the scripture and allow him to get into heaven. But it's tough. Now, you know, we were talking about words. You know, at late night, I've got insomnia. I don't ever go to bed till late. And I found this new video last night, and it was the beast in the Bible. And so I watched this before I go to bed. In fact, I got up, I had to get up at 6:30 in the morning and look it up. And, anyway, and so I got into it. Okay. Now we all know, here we go. Okay. Mom, Moses, right? He goes he's in front of the father, and the father tells him, you know, he's explaining to him what to do with Pharaoh, right? You know, and this is at the burning bush. He tells him, well, you know, throw down your rod, and it turns into what?
Snake.
A snake. So basically, so Moses goes, okay, great. And then they go and they're in front of Pharaoh, jump them way ahead. So they're in front of Pharaoh, Moses and Aaron. Aaron throws down the rod, and it turns into
a snake.
That's what the Bible says. That's what most Bible versions say. Absolutely, right?
Right.
That's what I thought, too, until last night. Anyway, folks, here we go. So these are really two different events that happen. But there's two different importances in these two events. The first is the interaction between the Father and Moses at the burning bush. It was Moses' staff that was transformed. And when Moses and Aaron come to Pharaoh, it was Aaron's staff that was transformed. Two different staffs, two different things. The second difference is the animal and the staff, what they were transformed into. Moses' staff at the burning bush was transferred into Nahash, which means snake. But Aaron's staff in Pharaoh's place was transferred into a tannin, and that is a crocodile. And also, when the others threw their staffs down, they also turned into crocodiles. And the crocodile, Aaron's, ate the other one. That's what it actually says. But because of the continuance of Bible people, when they do it, they figured it was just an error or whatever, and so they decided to go with the snake in both places. But so we need more backup information for that. So let's go with this. Why would it be so important to use a crocodile for Pharaoh? Well, here's one thing that I don't know how many people know that, but one of the predominant gods of Egypt is the crocodile. And one is a crocodile that Pharaoh would bow down to, and it's a man with a crocodile head. In fact, when they would kill crocodiles and they would entomb them and embalm them, the Egyptians in that time, and they would put, when they entombed them, embalmed them and buried them, they would put, the people that did it would put messages in it that they wanted answered and embalm them inside of the crocodile and bury them. And then they figured that the crocodile god would give them the answer to this. Now, this is a pagan thing, but so here's the point. So this kind of helped prove the point. So Pharaoh's seeing this thing with the snakes, okay, but to him, to see a larger crocodile god, so to speak, manifest itself, and his crocodile god jump up, and it's being eaten by snakes. These other gods are being ate up. It sends a strict message of fear to Pharaoh like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
But see, that's what the wording actually says. And I looked it up last night, and for the record, folks, I just read a little bit out of an article called A Tale of Two Staffs, and I'm going to send that over to, right now, I'm going to send it to the pastor's page, so that you can have a look at it, because I don't like to withhold things from you. And again, you don't believe it, you can comment to me, and who knows, if you want to debate it, maybe I'll even bring you on radio, because that seems to be the spirit of things nowadays, is we got to have every side. Well, I'm fine with every side, as long as it's presented in a manner. And I really do, folks. I want you all to pray that nothing's going on with Carl, that we can get him on here maybe next week. But anyway, so that's the thing about the crocodile. And there is also the thing about a word. See, one word being different, and it makes better sense. It also means that knowing what goes on historically. See, now, because historically, we know that of the time period when Pharaoh was there, we know the time period of Moses being there, and so we see what gods were around Pharaoh at the time. So crocodile makes much, much more sense, than snakes does. In fact, they're all around Pharaoh and on his throne. There would have been crocodile gods pictures all around him, where he was at, carved into the stone. And also, this crocodile god is also a sun god, of course. It had it was a man with a crocodile head, and then above it had a crown that was that represented the sun on top of his head. And so it's a sun god, which is basically all goes back to being bailed, you know, which is the devil. That's the devil. So what do you think about that little piece of...
makes more sense.
Makes more sense. And so that's by doing critical thinking, doing deeper research. Now, I know we all can't go out there and, excuse me, and know Hebrew or whatever, but we do have references, you know, and things to do. So we should be open for knowledge instead of just slamming our foot down and saying, okay, you know.
That's what I got out of it.
That's what I got. Now, that really drives me crazy. You know, why is that so crazy?
Because everybody gets different stuff out of it, and it doesn't, some of that stuff's really crazy.
Right. Well, words, now, look, both things, both instances, it still had the same point. Both instances, and this isn't somebody really thinking different in the sense that we could read it with a crocodile and we could read it with a snake, just like Frank was talking about, but we still come to the same conclusion.
Right.
Yahweh was more powerful than their gods.
Right.
And so that was the point and proven. So the point was still the same, but, you know, how we got to that point was a little bit different, you know what I'm saying? And one made more sense than the other, but it's still, you know, it's still going to the same point. Okay, well, you know what, when we come out of break, we usually talk about the mission church, and haven't did that yet, so how are we going over there? Let's go with this. What did you serve for dinner, Tracy?
I made goulash out of the leftover spaghetti sauce that you had left over, and it was really good. Everybody, it was gone.
Gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I put that spaghetti, I put an awful lot into that. You know, here's the deal. I don't know. I make things the way, I have an obsession. Warm spaghetti is an obsession with me because in chili, you know, I like to make it like I like it.
And you have to have spaghetti with your chili because you like chili red. You have to have some kind of pasta with your chili.
Yeah, it's called spaghetti red, not chili red.
Or spaghetti red or macaroni red.
Okay, here, you want to know the backstory to that?
Yeah.
My mom gave me this story. My mom was like, I don't know what, 16 years old, younger than my dad or something like that, but at least that much. Anyway, my mom went to work for my dad as a car hop when she was 17 years old. And that meant, well, not car hop, but she worked, it was a bar restaurant thing over on Pawnee in Wichita that he built himself. And he was a mechanic and he worked in a garage outside. Okay, great love story, cool. Well, but that's a dish that he liked and he created and served. He called it spaghetti red. And it was simply spaghetti with chili on top.
Yeah, I've heard that all my life, so I don't know how.
Well, I'm telling you the story my mom told me. Maybe it's because his chili, it was probably like me. My chili's not the same as everybody else's chili, nor is my spaghetti the same as everybody. And so I can nickname it or call it anything I want. So, that's why, I got into the habit of eating it with pasta, and that's what I like. But
that's what my mom called it, too, spaghetti red.
Yeah, amen. But anyway, so that's great that you were able to use my leftovers to make something good. And so, you know, they just didn't get a can of tomato sauce poured over some, you know, I'm trying to say that we put an effort into it.
It's an effort. Just even if you just open a can, it's an effort. It's an effort. When you've got to fix dinner for 60 or 70 people in an hour and a half, that's an effort.
Yeah, I start a little sooner. You know,
I can't start any sooner because I have to errands. I got 15 errands to run every Tuesday, and then I used to do everything. I have no way of knowing now. Lord, is the only way I ever did everything all by myself.
Right, and there's so you hit a real big point, and let me get to it in a second here. You know, I say that I get more time to do it because I cook the meal or try to on Friday unless I've got help or whatever, but I'm able to do that because I got extra help there, but I can't always do it because the same thing that you just said was errands. Why do we have to always seem to go on errands before dinner?
Mine cannot be changed because Tuesday's when I pick up all donations, and I've got four stops to pick up donations just for donations.
Okay, but even so, though, but that get you still get there a little sooner. But some of the errands that you have to do is because you're having to go out and
run out of napkins, run out of cups, run out of forks. No, don't have no meat, don't have no eggs, don't have no bread. Da 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 da. On and on and on.
That's my point. So if you were able to buy and stock food and those things ahead of time, like, oh, I can see in a week I'm going to need this or that. And, or buy shop
or even once. Just 1 week at a time. It's only 2 days. That would be so nice.
Right, but my point is, if you could see it a week ahead of time, or we could just actually have enough funds at once to be able to shop at once for the whole month, we would actually get a better deal on quantities of food and so on and so forth. But when we have to wait for, well, or the money to come, it's a different story.
Or even go without the money and it show up the day that you need it.
Yeah, well, that's that.
Most of the time it's go and do with what you have.
Right, right.
And then you get there and the Lord provides.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to go with what you have.
Yeah, and that there's that too. And, you know, usually there's backup, and good thing the father picked up resourceful
that dehydrated
people.
Food, yes.
That's what do you still, mean dehydrated? What are you talking about? Sister Linda, what are you talking about, dehydrated food?
Dehydrated food. We have Y2K food still.
Explain yourself.
We have storage food that was donated, and when we first started feeding, we had $36,000 worth of food donated that we still use. Food from that, but if we can use fresh and we have money for fresh, we buy fresh and use money for fresh because the canned foods and the dehydrated foods will last indefinitely. You just have to hydrate them.
Right.
So if you're broke and you have no money and nothing, you still have something to feed the people.
Right, but you still have to be creative.
And know how to cook it or it doesn't taste really well.
Right, but, and let me say this. Yes, when we first came in, you know, that was the shock of all shocks, you know, just a few days after we said, yeah, we'd do it, and we started putting forth the effort and took some food that we had in our own house out down there. Then we got that donation from Steve Quayle, and I just want to give him credit for that. And still, so I appreciate it, Steve, if you're listening. I know you're still on my email list, and that's how I found out about it.
That's an amazing story all in itself. The Lord kept you up all night telling you to feed the people. You said, how am I going to feed the people? I can't even feed the man in the church barely. How am I going to feed the people? You finally said, okay, I'll feed the people. Just let me sleep. Next day, you get a phone call. Steve, well, the Lord kept him all night. Donate Pastor Dan food.
Well, let me make a clarification. You kept me up all night. I made the commitment, and I had a call on the answering machine from Steve Quayle. And it wasn't that he kept him up all night. He was driving on his forklift. This testimony he gave me, we had on the air. He said, I was driving on my forklift in the warehouse, and this is the first time I actually heard an audible voice from God that said, and I was thinking about what you said in your email, and he said, I want you to stand with Dan on this, and he said, and he about knocked me off of the
forklift.
The
I remember that story, yeah.
And so then he turned around and he asked us. When I got him on the phone, he said, well, can you accept a called him back because he's on the answering machine. I said, yeah, what can I do for you? And he says, well, can you accept an order there in Florence? And I said, yeah, I'll send it. I didn't order anything, Steve. And he said, well, I'm making a donation. I said, well, send it. And he says, I don't think you get it. He says, do you have a forklift? What do you mean forklift? let me tell you what, $37,000 worth of dehydrated food, his cost is a lot of food.
Right.
It was a huge
deal. It filled a storage room in the basement.
Yeah, absolutely. It completely did. And like I say, you know, some of it, we still have some of it we fall back on, sometimes canned mashed potatoes. There's a whole bunch of Mexican food in there. Maybe we'll do a Mexican day. And
there's the MREs that we've been giving them. We've mostly given most of the MREs out to the guys that sleep outside and under the bridge.
Yeah, I think I just found another box of them. You know. But then I got to sneak them out the door past this kid over here that likes MREs. He likes MREs, you know, especially the dehydrated, well, the chicken. You know, it's actually a chicken strip, you know. Elijah says it's pretty easy. Ate a bunch of them anyway.
I know.
And so, you know, and that's, folks, that's my 17-year-old that's over here doing things like recording it and doing some other things.
He's a producer, too.
Yeah, he's a producer. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so let me say this, folks. Let me ask my wife, how can they help?
The best thing that I say is, the best way that I know to help is pray to the Lord and listen to him and do as he says. If he says send money, send money. If he says buy eggs, buy eggs. If he says whatever he puts on your heart to do, do it. Clothes, anything. Everything you need, we need.
Okay, and having said that, sometimes, I've said that a bunch of times and I've had people email me because they go, well, they're still at a loss because really, I mean, not everybody hears, as maybe clear or whatever, and so they say, well, I want to know what you need.
Things we can always use are number 10 cans of any kind of food, meat, vegetables, any kind of paper product, salt, pepper, sugar, eggs, and more eggs.
And meat, more meat. So I'll add something to that list. Pasta of any kind.
Yes, pasta of any kind. And rice.
Yeah, it prefers.
And I like the parboiled rice better because it is actually easy for anybody to cook. The other rice, when other people cook it, it's all sticky together. And
oh, yeah.
Parboiled rice is hard to mess up.
Yeah, if you don't get rice out at the right time, it turns to mush.
Right.
And you'll have rice cakes instead of,
just rice mush.
Rice mush. Yeah, just add a little sugar,
You got oatmeal, rice sugar. Oatmeal.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Let me say, yeah, Frank, you said rice balls. He loves sticky rice balls. Okay, we'll keep you on the list, Frank. Okay, folks, really remember that. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where?
Your heart.
Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. You are listening to radio, and some of you have been on listening to me, I know, because you've told me so. Ever since we started radio, but still we don't hear from you. So pray about it. I mean, if you're listening to radio and you're getting some enjoyment about it, consider radio airtime. We are in a new month, and I haven't paid for airtime this month, and so Frank over there needs to get his money so that he can keep his bills paid so he can keep the station going. And also, I guess he needs to eat also. So, pray about it. So you can donate online, or you can mail a check or money order. And as far as online, I've never had a problem with PayPal, so it works good. But you can donate online or mail a check or money order. You can do that. I had a couple tell me that the new couple that's been sending the last, they sent two donations so far, said that his wife didn't like to use PayPal. And so she said, want to know if she could mail a check. And I said, well, of course you can mail a check. We have a Messiah's Branch checking
account. And that is something to consider. PayPal has fees that they charge and take out of your donation, so we don't get the whole donation if you do PayPal.
Yeah, it gets a percentage, but don't let that fool you. PayPal is great because it's instant, and that's a fact. It is great because it's instant. Anyway, you can donate online, mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. Anyway, if you have any ideas for radio programs or guests, please let us know, because that way then we're trying to be here as a service to you, to help the body of Yeshua, to warn of the times that we're coming in, because we are in some of the craziest, I've never seen anything like the times that we are living in. And the hatred out there.
I've read about it, but I've never seen it manifest till recent days.
Yeah, well, this hatred that is out there, this discourse from the left is just so crazy, And it's just like right now, I can't believe we're allowing our president, who didn't commit a crime, to be persecuted for a crime, when all it is, it's a coup to try and overthrow the presidency.
And it's all lies.
A legitimate president. So pray for your president also. Pray for Messiah's Branch. But, folks, really, we must remember there is only one God. Who is he, Mom? He's your what?
Father.
He's your father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. remember, always be a blessing to others. I don't understand how a person can claim to be saved if you're not a blessing to others. If you have the Holy Spirit in it, meaning a blessing doesn't mean you have to walk up and give somebody $1 million. It means a kind hello. It means open a door for somebody. You know, giving a few moments to listen to an older person talk or a younger person talk, or giving them a kind word, so on and so forth. You can be a blessing to people in so many different ways, you know. And so always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, because there never will ever be any peace in Jerusalem or world peace, anything, until he comes upon the earth. And if you don't believe that, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your word anyway. And that's what this program is about, is to try to warn you of the times and get you interested in the Bible yourself, to study it for yourself and find out what the truth is. So, Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father blesses and keeps you, and that his face shines upon you, and that he's gracious to you, and he gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.